In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. Well, this was the first census that took place while Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town then to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time for the baby to be born came, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths, placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord Almighty appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord Almighty shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Well, suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God Almighty in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Well, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord Almighty has told us about." And so they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God Almighty for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The Christmas account of the birth of our Savior Jesus, the one promised long ago, now we celebrate his birth tonight among us, in the blessing of God's promises fulfilled and into the realities of our lives. I would imagine that many of us, probably all of us, tonight is a mixed bag of memories grasped, right? And thinking about the years gone by and the memories of Christmases gone, long gone, and you talk about that among you as families. And for many of us, those memories are good memories. Maybe even memories we'd like to have back, those realities back. But there's the other side of that, and that is some of those memories aren't so good. They're hurting memories. They bring hurt, and maybe they're memories of broken relationships, and maybe you'd rather forget those. There's the reality that we're enjoying right now, shaped by Christmas cookies and Christmas trees and family gatherings and worship. Now, here, celebrating the good news of Jesus' birth and his coming to us. And of course, then there's the reality of what is yet to come. For in just a few days, the reality of going back to work, going back to school, going back home, and maybe for some of you, empty houses, and Christmas is here and gone. These are our realities, past, present, and what is to come. And those realities can shape us, who we are as people today and now. Throughout the Advent season, we here at Bethany have been traveling through in this journey of faith, incorporating and hearing from different characters of the narrative of the coming of the Son of God, where reality meets faith, but then faith does something with our reality. Because after all, it's faith that defines us to celebrate this evening. And to carry on in the reality that we live every day is faith that does something with this reality. And faith is of the Holy Spirit. It is of God working within us. And so reality is shaped then by our faith. Like, for instance, with Zechariah, that first week of Advent, where Zechariah and his faith met reality, and reality shaped him, but faith kept him going as he was shaped by being mute for 9 months until his son was born. Elizabeth, her reality and faith, faith addressed the reality that she faced, and she believed and praised God for this pregnancy that she never thought she would have of the Lord God working in her life. Mary experienced a faith that overcame reality. I'm the Lord's servant. Let it be to me as you wish. And this morning, we heard from Joseph and how reality meets faith, and that faith that Joseph exercised defined reality. Well, now we come to tonight. And what's the next biblical person that we meet except Jesus the Christ? But does he need faith? After all, he's the Son of God. Does his faith mean something? Does he need faith in meeting reality? After all, he's sinless, holy. He's God incarnate. Maybe the person that we meet tonight isn't necessarily a biblical character, but maybe the reality that we're facing is our own reality. Or maybe Jesus came not for himself, but for you and me. And in a living faith in him, he takes care of our reality. He shapes it, changes it, and brings us into a reality that's far beyond anything that we could ever experience or imagine. Let's go to the word of the Lord and see how this unfolds. We're told that in verse 11, today the angel said to the shepherds, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. The message is personal. It's from the Lord Almighty, and it's to these shepherds, as it is to us. And the message was, this one born is Mashiach. He's the one promised long ago. He is the Lord. This one in the manger that you'll find wrapped in swaddling cloths is the one that the Lord God had promised to Adam and Eve, that Eve, from your offspring, from your womb in womanhood, would come one who will crush your enemy's head. He is the promised one. He is Mashiach, Messiah, as we call him in our English vernacular. And he will be the one to accomplish the Lord God's plans in the reality of time and in a place. Like Paul would say, that at just the right time, the Lord God sent his son for us. And the angel sang this message. He spoke it to those shepherds. This is the message from the Lord God Almighty, on high, to you who are here on earth. Today, now, in the town of David, just over the hills there. You know Bethlehem. That's where the promised Savior is found. He is the Messiah, and he is the Lord. And into our reality, that moment in time, which we see from the past, in the past, for the shepherds was now, and for you and me now, in our reality, this message of good news is given. For to you, a Savior, a Soter, one who is sent to deliver, and not just to deliver to safety, but to deliver from the curse of the judgment of sin and death, your sinfulness and mine, that brings the judgment of death upon us. This is what Jesus is given for, to you, to define today in his salvation, so that you might have a future reality with our Heavenly Father that loves you so much that he would give his one and only Son as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. This one who's in Bethlehem is Christ, Christos, or Messiah. He's the one who's been anointed for this purpose. And for this purpose, for you, he comes as the appointed Lord, Kurios, the Lord of heaven and of earth. The only one who can accomplish any or all of this in a reality that means something for humanity, this is Jesus. He's the babe of Bethlehem. I struggle with this in my humanity. I would imagine we all do in some ways. In the bigger global perspective, I wonder, how is it that God could send his one and only Son to redeem the world, and yet we find so much turmoil and war and starvation and disease and death? And in fact, even in Jesus' birthplace of Bethlehem, they're not even able to celebrate Christmas this year because of the conflicts that are going on there. I wrestle with that, trying to make sense of that reality in the midst of God's promises. But even closer to home, amongst ourselves, I wrestle with, Lord, do you love me enough that you would give me your Son? Is that really true? Is it about my faith, or is it about your working? And if it is about my faith, do I have enough? These are questions we ask ourselves. We struggle with, we wrestle with. And in our daily reality, boy, the evil one wants to get in there and make us believe that those questions we have are true and answerable in human wisdom and logic and knowledge. But what we're talking about tonight, what the message about tonight, the message is, what it is about tonight, is not about us. In, do I have enough faith? Do I believe enough? Am I strong enough? It's not about making sense of a world torn apart by sin. What the message for us is about tonight is God's activity in our reality to give to us a new reality. A new reality that's defined by his kingdom here and now, but it's also defined by a life everlasting. That when he comes again and he makes all things new, we'll be a part of that. Christmas, Christmas Eve, and the message, while it is for us, it's not about us. It's about the Lord God who cares for us and loves us, coming into our broken reality to give us hope, peace, to draw us into his unconditional love and give to us a change of our reality that would claim us as sons and daughters of the kingdom. This one, this babe of Bethlehem, this Jesus, who is the Savior, your Savior, who forgives your sins. This one who is the Messiah, the promised one of God, who is raised from the dead in the power of our saving God to give you a new life, is the Lord. And as the Lord calls you to walk with him and to know him and love him and serve him and know a reality every day in a relationship with Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Well, that's the message of Christmas, isn't it? That our Heavenly Father would give his one and only Son for you to have a Savior and Lord and Christ of your life. Into our realities, the Christ child is given. John would talk about him as the light of the world, piercing the darkness. Darkness can't overcome it, for Jesus Christ is the light of salvation. It was manifested in the glory of those angels who would come and sing, declare the glories of God on high at the announcement of the birth of Jesus. It's meant for you and me for a purpose of life, a life that's changed and the reality of the kingdom at work in our hearts and lives through that blessing of faith, the Holy Spirit at work within you, as a child of God, to know Jesus Christ. Because when the shepherds had seen him in the manger, they spread the word concerning what had been told about him. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. You see, the Christmas message that we enjoy and share, that impacts our reality and brings us into the kingdom, isn't meant just alone for us. Sure, the shepherds were impacted by it, but anybody they came in contact with also had the opportunity to know the reality of Jesus Christ. So do you. We have that opportunity to make an impact into the world We want to have world peace. Well, guess where it begins, friends? In the Prince of Peace. At work in your heart and in mine, and carrying that message into the world so that a new reality might be made known where Jesus is Lord. Like those people that the shepherds impacted. Well, Mary, we're told, Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Well, Mary had a little bit of a different reaction, and maybe some of us will too, that this truth, this good news that we're given tonight, reassured again tonight, is something that's taken in and pondered over time, and it becomes a precious gift to us that percolates in our heart. For the rest of Jesus' earthly life, Mary would ponder these things about what's said about her son and his purpose, who he is, and how Jesus would impact her reality as the one who would raise on this earth the Son of God. For the shepherds then returned, glorifying, praising God Almighty for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. I suppose when they went back to their flocks that night, tending those sheep, reality had a whole new look to it. Isn't that what the Lord wants? Not just for shepherds on a hillside, but for you and me as well. A new reality of life and living that's defined by the good news of Jesus Christ and a relationship with him today and now and unto life everlasting. That message of the good news is yours and mine. It's ours for the taking because the Lord God gives it to you. He gives it to you tonight as a gift for Jesus Christ to define the reality of your life and living these days and forevermore. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for giving to us this message that the angels proclaimed, the shepherds witnessed, that we testify to in the life of a relationship with Jesus Christ. Thank you that you've given your one and only Son as Savior and promised one, Messiah, and as Lord, and for him to claim his stake in our lives, that he is my Savior, he is my Christ, he is my Lord. That blessing, Lord, that defines then our daily life and living in the reality of your grace and goodness. To you be the praise and the glory. And we give you thanks for that saving message and carry it now into the world in the joy and gladness that our reality is bound in eternity because you've promised that to us in Jesus our Savior. So in him, we praise you, we pray, and we go in your joy and peace. Amen. Amen. May the peace of God that passes our understanding keep our hearts and minds in this message that defines our reality by faith in Jesus, our Lord and Savior.